We're talking about childcare today in the podcast.
Welcome to the Mira Wine Podcast, Vin Compétent, with Josh, Bryce, and Leah.
What?
The podcast where we drink, talk, and discuss natural wine.
And a little bit of pee.
And whatever else comes to mind.
Leah voted PPC.
Hope you're ready for this, because I know we weren't.
I'm gonna sell you the whole seat, but you're only gonna need the egg.
And in 3, 2, 1.
We're talking about childcare.
That was funny, right when you hit record?
I left it.
Yeah. Exactly. That's awesome.
I'm dressed up like you at the podcast today.
Oh, yeah, you are. I usually don't.
Your glasses are so dirty.
I know.
Oh.
I know.
They are.
I know.
Welcome to the final episode of 2022.
2021.
2021. Mm-hmm. I wish it was the end of 2022.
Yep.
Mira Wine presents Vin Compétent with Josh, Bryce, and Leah.
Hey-o.
Who voted PPC?
I did not.
Well, prove it next year, I guess.
Okay. Are you allowed to take a picture of your voter's card when you're back there? Isn't that illegal?
Can you?
I think that's, I don't know. Mm. I don't know.
Well, it's been a good year.
Yeah, it's been a great year.
Josh is preoccupied
with his Josh got an Apple Watch for Christmas.
We're going to have to make a no tech policy on this going forward.
Oh, man.
Can you just use Siri?
Yeah, but he's on the podcast right now.
I'm not going to send a message.
Oh, okay.
Like, hey Siri, text Gina Brass.
Right, yes.
It's pretty cool, my little watch here.
Yeah.
I went from like, and it's all like, it's pretty well based around work. But like, I went from... Right. Like, okay, iPhone, then I got AirPods, and I was like, this is
brilliant.
Amazing. You can get so much more work done.
Yeah.
Then I got a new computer, so I'm going fucking 10 times as fast as my old one.
Yeah.
Then I got the Apple Watch, right? So it's like, okay, like, your phone, it's like, okay, you got to look at your phone. Like, okay, I'll respond to that.
Yeah.
This, I can just go, that's not important.
It's not important.
It's not important. Or, that's pressing.
Mm. Yeah.
Well, there you go.
How was everyone's Christmas?
It's good. I had a good Christmas.
I didn't even talk to you about it. Tell me about your Christmas. Well, first, let's do a shot. Do we have to do a shot first?
No, we can do a little intro.
Okay, so a little intro.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
This is our last episode of this season. Season 3.
Can
you believe
season 3?
We made it 3 seasons. Well, Josh and I had a real short first season that I took off the internet for legal reasons.
Really?
No.
No, but like...
Oh, I was like, what did you guys talk about?
Yeah.
Nazis.
Some of the stuff
that we've talked about.
World
War II stuff.
Yeah.
No, the first couple ones were like...
really
we didn't
off
have you.
Color?
They were 2 hours long.
They were a blur.
We were shit-faced. Gosh. We did that one with your ex-husband that was not usable whatsoever.
I didn't even make it to the internet.
Nah.
Like, we didn't even post that one. He was just mumbling the whole time.
Oh, my gosh.
Mm. So let's thank our sponsors.
Well, no, first, tell us about
Christmas. Sorry,
Christmas.
Yes, Christmas. I spent it at home with my family.
And you love Christmas.
I love Christmas.
Yeah.
Christmas,
but you guys love like,
Christmas.
But just like the three of you.
Yeah.
Like we locked
love just
in your
like
house,
being
hanging
alone
out.
Hunker
for
down.
Christmas. Yeah, hunker down.
Do you guys watch movies? Any specific
movies?
Yeah,
video
you
games.
Watch?
We're big into Christmas Chronicles recently because Kurt Russell is Santa Claus. Now and forever.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And his, like, the best part about those movies is his wife played Mrs. Claus.
Love it.
His wife, what's her face?
Not Claudia Schiffer.
No. Melanie Griffith.
No.
I can't remember.
She's
got a mole right here. Oh, she's beautiful. I love her so much. She was in that recently.
She's Kate Hudson's mom.
Yes.
Oh, Goldie Hawn.
Goldie Hawn. What a bombshell. Love Goldie Hawn.
Yeah.
So she's Mrs. Claus. Those are great movies. Mm-hmm. Great Christmas movies.
Can I tell you about my Christmas movie story this year?
What's your Christmas movie story this year?
So I've only ever watched like Christmas movie. Home Alone and Home Alone 2 is probably my favorite, but because I love watching it with my dad because he pees his pants laughing. He just loves Home Alone 2 and it's so funny to see him that happy because my dad's a pretty stoic guy.
Right.
And so this year I've never seen Die Hard. And so I was like, I want to watch Die Hard this year. And it was just me and my parents on Christmas Day. So we finished supper and I was like, let's watch Die Hard. We rent it. My dad and I fall asleep within the first 5 minutes. So I still have
You've
yet
never
to see
seen
Die
Hard?
Hard. No.
The first
I
one's like
it.
Mediocre. I just want
out of your fucking
is,
mind.
Yeah, first one's mediocre.
They're all up until number 1, 2, and 3 are amazing.
Die Hard 3 is the best one.
Die Hard 3 is the best one.
All right.
But Die Hard 1 is like Die Hard 1, Nakatomi Plaza.
Yeah, I know. There's and it sets up Die
Come
Hard 3.
Come on to the ghost. We'll have a few laughs. Like,
yeah. Bruce amazing. Willis. Everyday
virtually
guy.
Unknown. Virtually unknown when the movie came out.
Yeah. Great Bruce movie. Willis. It is a great movie. And but I would arguably say that number two feels more Christmas than number one.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I would say so too.
Because he's caught in and he's caught in like the Christmas rush of the airport.
Yeah.
Well, maybe
this one's
next
a Christmas
year,
business party.
I'll have to do like a Die Hard marathon and start earlier.
Have you?
Because this was like
you've
after
never
dinner.
Watched
no,
Die Hard.
I never have.
Leah hasn't seen a lot of like. We were like, you've never seen like Good Will Hunting. She's like,
no, I haven't.
Never seen Good Will Hunting.
No.
We're gonna end this podcast right now so we can watch that.
Yeah.
You like Damn Apples?
No, like there's a couple of like iconic movies like Shawshank Redemption. I've seen that.
Oh, okay, yeah, that's a great movie. That's A.
I know.
Have you seen The Usual Suspects?
No.
Good Will Hunting.
Green Mile.
I've seen The Green Mile. Yeah.
Primal Fear.
Nope.
Primal Fear. Mm. Basic Instinct.
Nope.
Mm. Oh God.
What's that one with Michael Douglas? Is a single white female or?
That's Basic Instinct.
No. The other one where the it's the same basically the same premise, but it's with.
Woody Harrelson?
No, it's with Michael Douglas.
Oh, okay. I'm thinking about the other one. Indecent Proposal.
Indecent Proposal, great movie.
Nope.
Demi Moore.
I know. I need somebody to build me a, like, if you haven't seen these movies.
I mean, you just watched The Office this year, so.
I know. I'm way behind. I'm busy.
Welcome to the year 2010.
And maybe we should position this, though. Shut up. It's not 2010. I do not watch a lot of television. To be honest, I maybe watch... maybe two, like maximum 2 hours of television a week. Maximum. Wow.
Like if we were going to play like Desert Island, bring your favorite movie to watch for the rest of your life, what would you bring?
Devil Wears Prada.
That's a good movie.
It's a good movie.
I'm glad it wasn't anything with Adam Sandler and Drew Barrymore. Let's just put it that way.
No. I mean, I like the, no.
Why are you saying that?
Exactly. Old Adam Sandler's good, but
yeah.
Oh.
What would
Josh,
you bring,
what's
Bryce?
Your? Oh, okay, go ahead.
I would bring Shawshank Redemption.
Yeah,
I could watch that movie over and over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
That's fair.
I would bring. Are we all like? Are we going to the islands? The three?
Sure,
ones?
Go for it.
Because I would bring Good Will Hunting so Leah could watch it.
Good Will Hunting, so
great
good.
Movie. Robin Williams.
Oh yeah,
gone too soon. R.I.P. I love that man.
You know, I get
so good in that movie.
I look like Robin Williams.
A little bit, yeah.
That's what people say.
With your glasses on, you look like Robin Williams
older,
when you miss the Doubtfire.
Older women. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. No doubt. I could be Mrs. Doubtfire.
Josh, what's your favorite Christmas movie?
Die Hard. 100%. Die Hard. All three. Well, I would say over Christmas, my favorite Die Hard movie is Die Hard 3.
Die Hard 3 is the best movie.
Over Christmas. Like, it's the best one.
Best one.
Over Christmas, probably Die Hard 2. Is okay. My favorite one to watch because, like Bryce said, it's more like Christmassy.
Yeah.
But I watched all three this year, of course. And a very close second is going to be Christmas Vacation, Chevy Chase.
National Lampoon's.
Never seen it, have you?
I think it's mediocre.
I've seen
Shitter
parts
was full.
Of it.
Yeah.
I've seen it's parts of it.
So many good lines.
It's got some funny lines. Home Alone's a great Christmas movie.
Yeah.
I watch that every year.
I only like the originals with Macaulay Culkin, like 1 and 2.
Yeah, of course. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What else?
Christmas Chronicles is good.
Christmas
too.
Chronicles. That's the
what
best new
Grinch?
Christmas.
We haven't talked about the Grinch.
Years.
So, which Grinch do you like to watch?
I don't know.
I think Jim Carrey did a fantastic job as Grinch.
I agree. I don't know if I actually like the Grinch, but I'm just saying like that seems that's a
great Grinch movie, but it's really dark.
Yeah. What are the other Christmas movies?
What about like the old times? Like Santa Claus is Coming to Town, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
No.
Frosty the Snowman, those claymations?
No.
Oh, man. Santa Claus is Coming to Town, claymation, easily all-time favorite.
Really?
One of my all-time favorite movies.
California Raisins? Remember that one?
Yeah.
That was a good one. Yeah. Claymation.
Interesting.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay, let's thank our sponsors.
Thank you, Wanda Construction, for building bookshelves for Christmas movies everywhere.
Bookshelves for movies?
Bookshelves for movies. It's the 20...
For VHS.
It's almost the 22nd century.
Thank you, Wanda Construction, for all your bookshelf needs and all your bookshelf and DVD storage needs.
For all your
we are
needs.
Going to have the owners of Wanda Construction on the podcast in the new year.
Yeah,
that's correct.
I don't know when, but we will have Beth and Alex here so they can actually tell you what they do.
What they do.
Yes.
I still don't know why they they give us the Jameson to lie to people about what they do.
No, they think we're funny because we are.
We are funny.
They must have gotten so many clients because of us.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
All from Seattle.
Only the funny ones, though. They only get the clients that are, you know, a good sense of humor.
That's right.
Or they really like Michael Jordan or Cal Justerico or one of the many other...
You're still only stealing my favorite year in reviews, man.
No kidding.
Well, 2020.
Water Construction sponsors our first segment,
which is
the biodynamic Jameson shot calendar guessing challenge. Correct. I like how every time I introduce it, I'm guessing. I'm like, well, I don't, what guessing. Is this called? I don't know. I just put all the words in there.
Calendar,
biodynamic calendar, Jameson, Sean, I don't know.
All I know that it's not called.
We have voted PBC.
It's the segment where we take a shot of Jameson and try and guess the day of the biodynamic calendar. There are five options: fruit day, flower day, leaf day, root day, and nothing day. So here we go.
I'm gonna see.
Okay.
I'm gonna see if the app
is on your phone.
On my watch.
Did you smell it?
You did do that one time. You smelled the Jameson. You smelled it.
I know where I got it from. Mm.
Now I got distracted. I wasn't really thinking about the shot.
I don't think I have it on my phone.
Do another one.
Oh yeah, me neither. I wasn't thinking about it.
I think I know still.
Josh, do you have your phone?
Yeah.
Do you even still use your phone? You could get a smaller phone now.
Barely. Okay, what do you think it is, Leah?
Okay, here I'm gonna be wrong for sure. I think it's a flower day.
Oh shit, that's what I was gonna say.
I'm gonna go flower day.
Really?
Yeah.
But you know what's weird about it? Can I just say before we look, what's weird about it for me is that it actually tastes really good today. And normally when it tastes really good, I go like root or leaf day. So maybe it's a nothing day. But I said flower.
I think it tastes good today because I needed a shot of whiskey.
Yeah.
But like in terms of like the caramel, it's not there. Yeah. It's like it tastes the second worst. It tastes the second worst for me.
Okay.
That's why I went flower day.
Flower day. What is it, Josh?
It's a root day.
Oh, whoops. Sorry.
We got it right.
I did that on purpose.
It's a root day, hey?
It's a root day.
Is that gonna be better for the wine we're gonna drink?
No, the wine we're going to drink doesn't matter.
It's indestructible.
This is a bulletproof wine, guys.
It is bulletproof.
I just want to say it is much darker than the last time we drank it.
It is much darker.
And it's only been a couple months.
So we are drinking the 2019 Ageno from La Stopa.
And it has way more,
Romagna.
Way more notes than I like.
We did this at a staff training at Primal. Shout out to our friends at Primal in Saskatoon.
Boop, 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 boop.
And it was like way lighter in color, in flavor, in aroma.
It was like potpourri, flowery.
Yeah, we were all like, lighter. What is this?
Do we remember what day it was of the calendar?
It was a fruit day.
It was a fruit day. It was a great day to do tasting.
Yeah. And look at it now. It's way darker.
It's got way more of the notes that I'm into.
Mm-hmm.
Caramel. Marmalade. Lee, it's rude to be on your phone.
Yeah, too.
You're only allowed to be on your watch.
This is Christmas.
Fuck you guys.
It's a Christmas podcast, Leah. Back off.
Unless you're downloading Goodwill Hunting.
Yeah.
I have a parenting fail to tell you guys about today.
Oh, okay.
So I popped over to visit with Eve, and I really only had an hour, and we started playing Monopoly, and I told her, listen, I have an hour. We're not going to be able to finish, but we'll still play. And I checked my phone a couple of times, and she said to me at one point, Mom, we only have an hour together. Can you please put your phone away? And I was like, fuck.
Mm.
So, yes, gentlemen.
You should save that for the next time.
So we...
You have her, and she's just like glued to the phone.
Yeah.
You're like, honey, we only have a week.
I'll do that and get myself an Apple Watch because apparently that's supposed to help.
Christmas Eve day, Ray comes upstairs and she's like, okay, today's the day, no electronics for anybody. And we're like, okay, let's go for it.
Easy.
Yeah, no problem. We started.
Your 10-year-old daughter.
Yeah.
That was her rule.
So we started playing, we played a couple board games. And then we were just like, we have a few other things to do. Like, we got to get some stuff together, you know, do a few last minute, like, grab some cheese or, you know, whatever. And by like 2 o'clock, Ray was like, I can't live without my tablet. We're putting a pause on this rule.
And you're like, no, babe, you can live without your tablet.
I was like, you can, but it's also Christmas Eve day. I don't care.
Oh my goodness.
You made the rule. I
like, you made the rule. Like, I care.
You're like, you, it was unlimited screen time for you today, babe.
Yeah.
Yeah. You could have done it. Yeah. It didn't matter. Wine news?
Let's quickly, really quickly talk about the wine, because we did briefly say it's Ageno 2019 from La Stopa.
Okay.
Josh, give us, we've talked about this winery a ton, but give us like the Coles Notes version of La Stopa and the Ageno.
Founded in the late 19th century by, I can't remember his first name, but his last name is Ageno.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Marco.
Marco
Ageno.
I think it's Franco.
Marco Franco Ageno. He founded the winery, and that was back in the time when they started pulling up a lot of the indigenous grape varieties and planting, like, you know, Burgundy and Bordeaux, so like that, like Cab and Merlot and Pinot Noir and Chardonnay. And then I would say in the 80s, I think it was, they started saying, like, what the fuck are we doing? Like, let's, in that area, like, let's rip all this up and plant indigenous grape varieties. And that was right around the time when Elena's family, I think, bought the winery in the 80s?
Late 80s.
When her dad was in charge, and he decided he wanted to do that, but with a little bit of nudging from her, I assume. So they replanted Barbera, Bonarda, Malvasia, and
Trebbiano,
which is what we have in this fucking amazing wine right here.
God.
Thanks for bringing it in, Bryce. Very much appreciated. So this is the 2019 Ageno, which is an orange wine from La Stopa. If you haven't had the chance to try the Ageno from La Stopa, stop listening to this podcast and go and buy it right now. It is absolutely the, in my opinion, the best orange one on the planet.
It's not cheap.
Oh, no, it doesn't matter.
It's not expensive.
If it was three times the price, I would still endorse it.
What did they tell you? They're like, if you just didn't drink your Starbucks coffee for 7 days, you could buy this wine.
You sound like my father-in-law.
That's how they do it, don't they?
Yeah. Well, I mean, sure, whatever you want to do, just fucking
just
spend.
Just buy this fucking wine.
$50, $60, go buy it. It's amazing. Especially if you like orange wine. I've had the opportunity to drink some pretty iconic orange wines, and like Raticon and what's it, Rinaldi, which are both exceptional. This for me, though, is my favorite.
This is my favorite for a lot of reasons. Mm-hmm. But I would say the 2019, the first time we had it, I was like, meh.
Yeah, I didn't like the 2019. This is the first time I liked it, but all the other ones are unbelievable.
Holy shit, what happened to this?
And it's been a month?
It still has like those floral notes, but like it's
still
warm.
It's starting to get that oxidation to it.
Yeah.
Which if we left this open until tomorrow, it would be like perfect.
I bet you if that happened, we're drinking this whole bottle.
It's not
going
to happen. Do you find that this one's a little bit like effervescent? Like there feels like little like tingle on my tongue. I don't know if that's the like bubbles in it, potentially like micro bubbles, or if it's something more.
No, it's definitely there. I wonder if it's a little bit of the alcohol too. Like
that's what I was thinking. Yeah,
maybe this is higher. Yeah, it's 13.5. That's high for a white.
I still think for me, for my preference, I would like to let it sit a little bit longer, to be honest with you.
Like, let it age longer?
Yeah.
I feel like my benchmark now.
Yeah. If you have a closed bottle, I think what I'm saying is we've opened the bottle.
Yeah, it's not going to last.
We're not going to.
It's still really good.
Yeah.
I feel like delicious. This one's a little more. I feel like the lighter it gets, the quicker you can drink it.
Mm-hmm.
Because the darker colored Agenos are like, you got to sit there.
You can't just drink the wine. It's like having a really, really intense peaty scotch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
like you gotta talk about it.
Like you gotta have like a bearskin rug. You gotta have a cabin in the woods.
It's gotta be Christmas all the time.
It's gotta be Christmas all the time.
Right on TV.
Yeah, you gotta go chop wood first.
Yeah.
And
like it's the
I
cabin.
Would die. I'm just gonna
has
put
to be
that
so
up
remote. Like if you didn't chop wood during the day,
you're
dead. Fucking die at night.
Exactly.
There's no electricity.
Right.
There's no blankets.
Yeah.
Sleep under the rug, bitch.
Exactly. That's what the bear's for. You shot him earlier.
I mean, you could also maybe create that same ambiance and not have to be out in the woods.
That's how I feel when I drink this wine, though. Yeah. It makes me feel like a man. It
makes me feel like a man. This wine makes
so
me feel like a man.
So if you
want to
feel like a man, drink the Ageno.
This is the most masculine, feminine-made wine I've ever drank.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that this wine is masculine.
Really?
It's like so everything.
It's so everything, but we talked about this before. It's balanced.
Do you think this particular vintage
in
general?
I don't think Ageno is masculine at all.
Really?
Oh, man.
I think it's concentrated and intense.
This feels like
but it's not masculine.
I'm just going to preface this by saying this is a great wine. This feels like an idiot linebacker like running through a wall. Because it's like, you're like, this is never going to work. And he's like, yeah,
it's going to work.
And you're like,
we'll
no,
just run faster and harder.
It's not going to work, man. And you're like, all the faults. And he hits the wall and it goes through and you're like, wow, that worked.
Yeah. Holy shit.
So that's how I feel about this one.
You've never described it like that before. That was funny. Good job, Bryce. Okay, next segment.
Mm. Wine news.
Man, what a horrible segue.
That's news to me.
Welcome to the wine news. Bryce James Lanyek. On weather this week is Leah, because no one likes the weather.
It's going to be fucking cold. It's going to be fucking cold all week.
I was going to ask the question, what is everyone's favorite soundbite from 2021?
Mm. Oh, I should have done a soundbite off.
And my favorite is, because you still said it, and you better turn it into a soundbite, that was the worst segue ever. Like, just so angry and aggressive.
My favorite one is, thank you, Gladys.
Thank you, Gladys. Okay.
What's going on in the world of wine?
So the top headline is young drinkers flock to organic wine.
Wait, are we doing a year in review for 2016?
I don't know. It was posted December 26, 2020. It was posted today.
Who wrote that?
Olivier Stiles.
Well, Olivier Stiles.
It might be Oliver.
Thanks for that tips. they also like the Instagram. If you want to write a story about that.
A survey of wine drinkers across the UK, France, and Germany found that while wine consumption has fallen, organic wine consumption is on the rise, and its consumers are getting younger.
For many, many years.
It has to be at least a decade. I'm going to say 15 years probably.
Well, they're saying between September and October found an average 10% rise from 2015 in those that bought organic products, while wine consumption generally appeared to be going down. Mm.
So wine consumption is down, but what they're buying
organic wine consumption is up.
I still think it's a bogus thing.
I mean, I believe it. It's just not current.
It's cool. Okay, cool story, bro. Thanks.
Cool story, bro. Right. EU gives green light to Moët Hennessy and Campari online merger.
What?
I don't know.
I thought that was all one company already, wasn't it?
Well, Moët Hennessy was, Moët, but I didn't know.
But with Campari?
So they're gonna.
So
they're merging.
Italian spirits behemoth Campari, it proposed a 50-50 takeover of Italian-based online direct consumers sales platform, Tanico.com.
So is that what Campari owns?
Yes, I think Campari owns that, and Moët Hennessy bought into it.
Yeah, so like Campari owns like an enormous amount of other like names. Same thing with Moët Hennessy, obviously. That's like a big, that's a juggernaut is what that is.
Yeah.
Those guys got fucking dough.
Yeah.
I think the guy who owns Moët Hennessy, to be honest with you, is one of the top 10 richest people on earth. I'm not even joking. Mm.
Really?
Yeah. I want to look that up.
Interesting.
Cool. Same with the guy who owns that big, super big tequila brand.
Oh, it's not Patron.
Yeah, Patron.
No, is it Patron?
Yeah, it's Patron. Because he used to be like a door-to-door dictionary salesman.
Modelo, and then
he
became
a dictionary salesman to a tequila?
Yeah, he went door-to-door dictionary salesman. And then he partnered with some hairstylist and Jean-Paul Mitchell.
Yeah.
He was he's the guy behind Jean-Paul Mitchell and started taking his products out. And then he bought Patron.
No way.
He's a brilliant guy. EU approves Bolivian wine.
So the guy who owns Moët Hennessy, they also own Louis Vuitton.
Yeah, we talked about that a few weeks ago.
He's $195.3 billion his net worth.
I thought you were going to say he was 195 million years old.
But, I mean, how does that rank?
I'm pretty... Bernard Arnault. Keep going, Bryce. Sorry. I typed very slow.
Okay, so EU approves Bolivian wine.
Mm. What does it mean EU approves? Like they've recognized it as a designated wine area?
Yes. The landlocked South American country that Bolivian wines have been they've been approved for export into the European Union.
He's number two today.
today?
Yeah, he's Elon's Elon's number one. He's number two, and Bezos is number three.
Bezos Seriously? Number three.
Yeah.
You said million. You must have meant billion.
No, he said billion. He said billion. Yeah. Wow. It's funny how it's like the real-time billionaires list today because it depends on the stock market.
Because like, his net worth, yeah. Jeff Bezos' net worth dropped by $1.4 billion in one day.
But look, it was 0.7% of his total net worth.
Yeah.
Right?
Elon Musk went up $6.1 billion in one day.
2%.
2.24% of his net worth.
Fucking crazy.
Okay, so
it's like me losing a dime.
Yes.
Like, oh fuck, that's it's $6 billion.
Yeah, it sell off a bunch of his stocks.
Too much. Just they got too much money.
Taxes. EU grapes have Asian ancestry. The oft-told story that Shiraz, yeah, the Southern Caucasus stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there is a research team in Italy has found that European grape cultivars widely believed to be descended from the wild grapes are in fact most likely the product of crossing with ancient Asian varieties. So like, but like Southern, like Georgia and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But still vinifera.
Yeah. But that's where they all came from.
Interesting.
So OG vinifera.
Yeah. OG.
Giving further credence to the notion that Georgia is the home of viticulture. De Gasparo's team postulates that European varieties likely trace their lineage back to Southern Caucasus region, which would also cover Turkey, Iran, Armenia, and
Azerbaijan.
Azerbaijan. That's the news.
Wow. Well, thanks, Bryce James Wolaniak.
You're welcome.
And now on to weather.
It's fucking cold.
It's going to be cold.
It's cold, and it's going to stay cold.
It's going to be so cold that people are canceling their reservations for New Year's Eve.
Yeah.
I just want to note that.
Somebody can't. Because it was too cold to drive in.
Too cold. You That's live baloney. In Saskatchewan. This isn't Toronto.
I mean, realistically, we're in Regina. I live in Regina. And my dad has texted me at least 4 times right now to say, are you still safe and warm? Like, you're still okay?
You should have seen. I drove through the snowstorm last night.
So did I. I thought I was going to die. I cried the whole way home.
Oh, it took me. So I came from Fort Qu'Appelle.
Jeez.
What were you doing in Fort Qu'Appelle?
That's where my parents live.
You came all the way from Fort Qu'Appelle?
I left at 4:30.
What time did you go home at?
6:30.
2 hours from Fort Qu'Appelle?
It was insane.
Yeah.
And Why like by the time. Over? Well, by the time I had got. To the like, because I didn't want to.
Yeah.
So by the time I got to the point where I was like, I should probably turn around.
Mm-hmm.
You were too far.
I was in between.
Yeah.
There's nowhere to like. It's not like you're gonna stop halfway and be like, oh, let's spend the night in.
Well,
you can wait.
If I get to Balgowny, I'm home.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With the exception, depending on what route you take from Balgowny, because I was in Pilot Butte last night.
Right.
And it was 7:30 when I was driving home.
Oh, yeah. You were in the shit.
And I was like, what the fuck was I thinking?
Yeah.
I should have taken 46 and Ring Road, because even that would have been shit, but I'm on the bypass and I can't see anything. That.
And there's nobody driving the bypass.
No lights.
Exactly. There was nobody. It was me.
I wouldn't even.
And not even a quarter a tank of gas.
Oh.
Not like I.
Why didn't you stop and get gas?
Why didn't I take a different route?
Why didn't you sleep at your sister's awesome house?
Because I wanted to go home.
Exactly. Because you wanted to go home. Thank you, Leah. It's better to sleep at home.
Sometimes you just want to be at home.
Yes. Okay.
So topic for today. We don't have like an intro.
It's 28 minutes in.
Yeah.
We don't have an intro.
Okay.
Welcome to the Mira Wine Podcast.
I want to go through like some 2021 favorites.
Yeah, my favorite was COVID.
Me too.
For example, what was your favorite wine of 2021?
2021. Does it have to be new or is it just something that we brought in?
It can be anything.
Anything you drink.
And it doesn't even have to be a Mira Wine product. What was your favorite wine? Because mine was Kim Crawford Rosé. I'm just kidding.
Get out of here.
I'm just kidding.
I'm going to turn that into a soundbite real quick.
I know what mine was. Mine was Bodegas Autenticos, that one I drank at that wine bar in Montreal. Fucking blew me away.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you contacted them too, didn't you?
Yeah, we got an order going.
Oh, yeah. Nice. Yeah. I wasn't sure where that one came from, so...
Yeah. Yeah, that blew me away. It was the I can't remember the name of it. I have it on their Instagram.
What was it about the wine? Like, what did you?
You know what? I was in Montreal, and it was about halfway through my trip, and I mean, I was drinking exceptional wine the whole time I was there. And we were drinking orange wine. We ordered a bottle of Cattivella. Then we ordered a bottle of Pierre Frick skin contact wine, which is fucking exceptional. And then I was like, well, let's try the Di Nivolo because we had the mm-hmm. Cattivella, and which was like, I think about $90, mm-hmm. $80 in the list. And the waitress, young girl, and like she knew that I, you know, knew a few things about wine and whatnot. She was like, you know what? She's like, you like that? She's like, I think you would try this. It's a small amount we got in. It was like $55. It was red, like pretty ballsy mm-hmm. move. And I was like, sure, like I'm pretty easy. But there were six of us. We were there during a heat wave. It was so hot in the restaurant. Nobody has their AC in Montreal mm-hmm. in the restaurants. And I wasn't paying attention. Like all my friends were kind of coming and going, and like the wine stopped me in my tracks. Like I didn't like she like opened it and I was like, yeah, yeah. I think my brother-in-law tastes it. He's like, yes, my cork, great, great, great. Poured a glass and I'm chatting, and like, just like, blew me away.
What like, about it? Do you, like, because that usually that's usually the, something that hits
the,
you.
The nose on it was like encapsulating. Like it was, it just like made me stop everything. Like it was like boom. I was only focused on that. Nice. And there's oak for sure. Probably new oak, which mm-hmm. I'm fine with, but. It was like fruit, and it smelled like fucking Grand Cru Burgundy.
And where's it from?
It's from Spain.
It's from Spain.
Yeah.
We are like Spain heavy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I was like, what? Let me see the bottle. What is this? Yeah. What is happening?
Yeah.
She's like, yeah, we have like three cases. And I was like, I'll buy. You guys know me. I'm like, I'll buy whatever you have left. Because mm-hmm. they were allowed to sell during COVID. And she was like, this is our last bottle. And I was like, what? And she's like, yeah. She's like, I thought you'd like it. And I was like, who's your importer? Like,
I need to know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right? I can't believe you sold this to me for $55, you idiot.
Yeah. You downsold me $45. Yeah.
You could have sold them both to me.
That was my showstopper of the year.
That's awesome.
I'm going to find it.
I love wine experiences like that where you actually just stop everything you're doing.
Yeah.
You forget where you are, you forget who you're with, and mm-hmm. you're like, what is going on in this mm-hmm. glass?
Leah, what was your favorite wine?
You go first.
Favorite wine of the year? That's a tough one. Like, I think I've drank more Macchione in 2002 this year than I ever have.
Yeah.
Which is great wine. But I'm going to say the Domaine du Seigneur Lagoutte Red.
Really?
Easily one of, like, when we got it in, I never drank it.
Yeah.
Never drank it at all. We blew through the rosé super quick.
Yep.
And Kayla came to Homestead one night. She had it. She was like, man, I really like this. So I bought a bottle. I'm like, this is the shit.
It's fun. It's one of those wines that we overlook all the time.
Yeah.
And yet it, like, you're right. It's so well.
It's
and
so
incredible
good.
Value.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The other thing I wanted to say is that we just got some really awesome Burgundy in. Mm-hmm. And it changed my opinion of French wine. Because I was always
was
on
your
the
opinion
fence.
Opinion about French wine?
I was just on the fence. I was like, it's a little boring. It's hard to get.
Like, what is everyone talking about?
Why is everybody being like, this is so good? And especially from Burgundy. And I was like, because it feels like even at the price point, it's
even
tough
to. Even Thibault Gibelair?
I mean, that was good, but I didn't know anything at that time. You're wrong. I think at this point, I would. It'd be a different. Josh and I opened the Petit Chablis, and we were both like, this is fucking awesome.
Mm-hmm.
I tasted it the next day,
and
I get what you guys are saying. It was still missing something, but I'm glad you had that experience with French wine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, I really am.
Even the Fournier Bourgogne was good. It was great. It was
a little bit of time.
It was a little bottle shocked.
So we drank one of the Grand Crus.
Yeah.
On Christmas, the Fournier.
We opened the Marcenet, though.
Yeah, but we're not the, like, we drank the Rungier.
We drank the Corton.
I didn't drink it. At my house on the
24th. Oh, on the 23rd.
Yes.
On the 23rd, not the 24th.
23rd, yeah.
Okay. I didn't.
It was fucking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was a Givry.
Yeah.
We don't have the Givry.
What do we drink? Are you sure?
Corton.
We don't have the
Corton. It was Corton.
Corton
Grand Cru.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Corton.
Is the Givry coming, you think?
Yeah, it had to get relabeled.
Oh, yeah.
Remember? Because you fucked up the order.
Bullshit. I have two.
The V-Farm.
No, if that's the question, what wine did you drink the most of in 2021?
Well, in terms of liters.
Like, liters, right. Yeah.
Yeah, so.
Hello. And, okay, I want to preface this by saying I am a white wine drinker. I will choose white wine over red wine all the time.
Day of the week.
And I will look specifically for white wine pairings with food because I want to drink white.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
My two standout wines for 2021, one we rep, one we don't. Both Italian.
Whoa.
Mm.
The Monte Segundo Rosso.
Mm. That was a good wine.
That wine is so perfectly made and an exceptional representation of Sangiovese, of
Sylvia
Tuscany.
Massana, yeah.
I can't get over that wine.
Can I tell you a little mini story about that?
Yep.
When my parents were in town and you served us, we were sitting in the patio.
Yeah.
And you were just serving us like wine blind, because I'm like, I'm so bored of all the wine at home that I drink all the time.
Yeah.
And you came out, you served us wine blind, and I was like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah.
And I was like, this is exceptional. And you're like, this is the Monte Segundo Rosso. I was like,
and it's
holy
not even their
shit.
Chianti Classico.
No.
Their Rosso.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Because I wasn't like, when I guess like going in, I have like this thing. I'm like, oh, I know it's very good, but
bottle.
Like it's the entry level stuff, whatever.
Yeah.
But drinking it blind, I was like, this is fucking delicious.
Yes.
What is this? Yeah.
I love, and it's so versatile. Like, I love that wine.
Mm-hmm.
The other wine, and maybe there's a little bit of like emotion behind this wine. I won't share why.
The tequila we drank with
that. That too. No,
that's not wine.
The Gramatico.
I was gonna say Gramatico. Yeah, that was a close second for me.
Yeah, it was like that wine is.
I have purchased probably 24 bottles of Gramatico this year, personally.
Shit.
Yeah. For my house at $100 a pop.
And how many do you have left right now?
Zero. Zero. I drank all of them.
Amazing.
I keep buying them. I'm like, I'm going to lay this down for a couple years. And then Leah comes over 2 days later. I'm like, let's fucking drink this Gramatico.
Yeah. See, that to me is a wine that is like a masculine wine that I appreciate.
Oh, okay.
It's really refined.
Right.
But it is, like, it's big and bold and masculine.
Yeah. Great call.
Yeah. Two Italian reds.
There you go.
And if I had to choose a white, Livy Femme Rosé, which is not a white, it's a rosé.
Not white at all.
And I drink it out of the box.
Hey. I'm going to ask you guys a question. What would be your favorite wine of the year that you would bring to people that don't drink wine?
Mm. Like, to try and get people into wine?
No. Just like you would share it with your mother-in-law who drinks fucking apothic red with bubbles. That's the new thing I saw on the shelf the other day. They really want apothic red half the sugar though.
Yeah, you don't have full sugar.
Does it have to, so apothic red is just like a concept.
It's a concept.
Yeah. Okay, so it doesn't have to be a red wine.
No.
You're going to someone's house that you know they don't like to drink good wine. What are you bringing
over?
Yeah,
but you want to enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not going to go, like, they're going to drink some of it, though.
They're going to drink some of it. You're not going to bring a bottle of Vigino over. They're not going to like it. They're going to fucking hate it.
I would bring the Sonodrack.
Sonodrack. I think they would hate that.
No. Big tannin. Full bodied. And I would like it.
Of course you would like
it. Man, I'm going through...
It doesn't have to be our wine. No, just.
I know. Okay, so I have two. I have a white and a red.
Okay.
A white, I would take the Secretaire Chenin Blanc from Baton Horse.
Nice one, yeah.
That's a good one.
And for red, I would probably take the Bonejuto Cabernet Cote.
Really?
Oh, whoa. Yep. That was super green peppery.
It's like it's interesting. Like it's easy to drink. It's the nose that's super expressive.
Yeah.
And so it would get people being like, oh, I'm not going to like this.
Mm-hmm.
And then they taste it because on the palate, it's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
I think I would do those two.
I would bring both cereal products. I would bring the Negre and the...
Because the cereal Azimut Bianco was, what, number three on our top 10 bestsellers of 2021?
I would also bring the Cava, because that shit fucking rocks.
The Cava, you're right.
The Cava Rosé is so fucking good.
Yeah.
Okay, Josh, you need to ask a question.
Oh, what is your not your favorite wine, but your favorite wine-affiliated memory? Like an event or a story or something that, you know what I mean? Like, did you meet someone who was really into wine or that wasn't and, like, they had a wine? And
my favorite wine-affiliated memory, I would just remember right now, was the fact that we got a bunch of Silvio Masana Gazi in, and then it disappeared.
Mm.
Josh posted about it, and people wanted it.
Immediately.
But it was already gone.
Yeah. That was our fastest-selling wine of all time.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. It was a great wine.
You know what? Mine was actually with Gina. So she had invited, I think this was when you were in Montreal, Josh.
I was, yeah.
And Gina invited the staff over for a staff party, and she was super excited. And we had, but it was after service. So it was really, really late. And I got there first, and Gina said, let's go down to my cellar. You pick anything you want.
Mm-hmm.
And Gina has some like weird, weird natural wines.
She likes weird shit.
Yeah.
I'm not going to remember the producer, Vice. It's like that. White label with, it says in red, it's W-E-I-S-S-E.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah.
Yeah, right there. The Alsatian bottle. Who's the producer? Anyways, it was this co-ferment. And it was like, it was one of those, yeah. like Josh had in the restaurant, a stop me in my tracks.
Yeah, you're like, what the fuck?
What is this?
Yeah.
Because I'm used to Gina's shit being weird, but... This was exceptional.
Yeah.
And it was just her and I there, and there was a record playing, and we were about ready to shuck oysters, and we're drinking it and tasting and talking about it. And it was just, it was very, it was nice. It was nice to taste something.
Marto? Is that the name of the wine?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. I had fun that night. And then Joyce and Hugo show up, and they both smell amazing. And then I left pretty early, but yeah, it was fun.
Josh?
Geez, I asked the question. I don't really...
What was your favorite wine-related memory or moment from 2021?
So I bought with a couple other guys, like this like wine auction.
Yeah.
from an estate sale.
Yeah.
And because of COVID, we had to like... push it back a few months, so the wine was just sitting here. We bought a case of a mixed pack of first growth Bordeaux from 1976, and we had the Rothschild and the Margaux.
Fuck.
And then a bunch of random alcohol, like Midori from like the 70s. Yeah. So we finally all got together at Homestead one night, and we just like drew, like we did like a snake hockey draft, and then like picked bottles. So we all got like a fairly even amount of the first growths, which was, you know, kind of Russian roulette. It wasn't stored properly, whatever. But then we just started taking, like, you know, I was like, oh, cool. Like, there's bottles of, like, old bottles of Pernod. And there's old bottles of, like, you know, like a 2011 or 2001 Greg Norman Merlot. Like, who the fuck has that? Like, I need to see what this tastes like. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But then my favorite part of the story is Gavin. There was this bottle, this Italian, like, spirit. And it had, like, this really kitschy gold, like tree like branch inside of it, and like rocks in the bottom.
Like, what the fuck?
And it was like, what the fuck is this? So Gavin took it like close to the last round, and it was Hugo, actually, our chef, who came in the next day. He's like, yo, that bottle's worth like 500 euros. I'm like, what are you talking about? He's like, yeah, like,
look, that's like, a, check like it out.
That place, they stopped making that 20 years ago. And they, and like, there's only half bottles for sale, and this was a full bottle.
No way.
Yeah, so that was, I think that was like my favorite winner. That was a fun night.
Yeah.
And I quite like Rob, Gavin, and Scott. They're all really into wine, and
yeah,
it was, that was a, we, you know, Scott, of course, opened a bottle of the 76, and it wasn't corked. And that was when Leah discovered she actually likes Bordeaux. It just has to be 30-year-old first.
It's just gotta be real fucking expensive.
Here's the background to that.
I guess it's 50 years old.
Everybody's like, oh, I love Bordeaux. I'm like, I hate Bordeaux. I don't like Bordeaux.
What's all the hoopla?
And then I tasted an aged first growth, and I was like, oh, I get it. But this is Bordeaux. Like, when people talk about Bordeaux, that's what they mean.
And like Chateau, like... you know, Chateau Bordeaux or something, like, it's like 1989. Like, no.
First growth, aged Bordeaux. No, that's the thing. I don't, I know.
We'll get you there. Don't worry.
No, you so, won't.
Like, yeah, like, you know, like, what? You're not going to drink Le Pain?
I mean, I'll taste it.
No.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Sociando Mala, no good for you. None of that. Only the 5 first growths. That's it. Okay.
Shit.
The wine we drank for your birthday at the Diplomat, that was Sociando Mala. It was like 2001, I think we were drinking.
That wasn't this year. We weren't at the Diplomat for my
birthday. No, like,
this year.
Remember, we, like, that.
Oh, yeah.
And then there was like three cork bottles.
Three cork bottles in a row.
Oh, we won't get into that.
That was also the time that they made Cosmos with Coca-Cola or iced tea.
Yeah. And then,
not really sure.
And then we tried this in the back and they're like, no. This is how you make Cosmos.
Mm-hmm. And we're like, okay. How do you have three corked bottles?
Storage and the case, right? Like, so the whole six pack would have been fucked.
It would have been fucked.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe, but like, yeah, I think it had to do with storage.
Can I ask the last question?
Yes.
Favorite podcast of 2021?
Of our podcast?
Yes. Mm. Not like podcasts in general. Which podcast that we created was your favorite of 2021?
I'll go first. Mine was definitely with Sarah Colonna.
Oh, did you? That
yeah, was a good one. I just think she's really funny. It's a little bit of, you know, a little bit of weight off my shoulders to be to carry the podcast in terms of the comedic aspect.
I just talked about a wine as a linebacker, and you think you carry this?
No, actually, I enjoyed having Sarah and John on. That was fun, and it was like kind of like during the heart of the pandemic, and so it was nice to have some people on, and they're clearly like, you know, it's not their first rodeo, so it was that was a lot of fun, and I quite like them, so
for sure. Bryce,
I would say the one with Kat over at Leah's house.
That was just the best time.
That was the best time.
It was a shit podcast.
I don't know. It was a good podcast. It was a good podcast up to the 40-minute point, and Kat fully admitted that she would lick Pedro Pero's balls.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, see?
Yeah.
That's
unprompted.
How
unprompted. Unprompted. Can I also, what do you call that? Like a honorable mention.
Honorable
one
mention.
One of my favorite wine moments of the year was meeting Kat. Mm-hmm. Mm. Just the, I fucking love that girl.
Yeah.
It was a lot of fun to have her here.
When Kat came in and tasted through a bunch of our wines, I think that was a really good moment.
I was like, oh.
You weren't here.
I was here for that night.
No,
I'm talking about the meeting.
We had the first meeting.
I was talking about the tasting with her.
Oh, okay.
But when Leah and I first met with her, like 2 minutes in, we're like, okay, there's another one here. Like, we have another one in the city. Like, she gets it. She's cool. Mm-hmm. So meeting Kat was great. And we're very sad that she's only going to be living here.
We need to. A
couple times a year.
Yeah.
When is she moving?
We'll have her on again. Mm-hmm. She's moving right away.
Stupid Calgary and your better city.
Do you guys want to know my favorite podcast?
Yes.
It was a series of them. It was March Madness.
March Madness.
And I do want to give I want to give honorable mentions to the Sarah Colonna and the John Ryan and the Cat podcast. I also think it was super fun when we had Gina. Like, I feel like any of the podcasts actually that we had guests on, those were some great podcasts. But I had fun with March Madness, and it's probably because I'm competitive. And I don't, like, it wasn't like I was competing for something.
You won.
But, there was no competition. I just thought it was fun to taste through wines and taste them blind and have some good conversation. So even if they weren't great podcasts, that experience,
doing that experience was fun. Yeah. Kim Crawford, fuck that. Fuck that shit. Fucking morons.
No.
We played the game right.
We didn't let our preference for non-conventional wines influence our decisions.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
How do we wrap the podcast up again?
Oh, we got to do the 7-day thing.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Wait, when is that where Gladys comes in?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, perfect. I missed her.
Yeah, and I was getting wood.
I'm going to change it up.
You said we were doing the 7-day thing.
Yep. Your favorite wine of the year.
Hold on. Thanks, Gladys. Okay, go.
Good. Let's do it. Do it again. Do it again.
Go.
Thank you, Gladys.
So instead of rating the Ageno, because we've drank the Ageno a whole bunch of times, I want you guys to tell me, out of 7, how many days of the week would you drink your favorite wine of 2021?
Okay, the one
we mentioned, yeah.
Mine's the Cote Rhone.
Oh, yeah.
Cote Rhone.
Du Seigneur.
Le Goutte Rouge. Mm-hmm. 7 days a week.
Seven out of 7.
No problem. It's my favorite of the year. Mm-hmm. I should fucking drink it 7 days a week.
I would go 6 out of 7 for me, only because, like, it's so intense that, like, I need a day of rest, like, on Sunday, where I would drink, like, some kava. It was the Autochtona from Bodega Oscura in Andalusia.
Andalusia.
Which sucks. I mean, that's so close to, Seville. Oh, yeah. We'll have to go.
Oh, no.
Fucking hell.
We're going 2022.
Flamenco dancing, fight some gypsies.
Fight some gypsies?
Yeah, why not?
Fight some gypsies.
See, this is why our budget needs to be bigger. We need to have really solid travel insurance.
You work for an insurance company. We got.
Yeah, that doesn't mean the insurance is free.
Well, because Bryce and I are going to, we're going to do that, and we're going to go to Florence, and we're going to play.
We can't.
I'm streaking, and we're going to see what happens.
Don't worry. Being in the
tear me limb from limb.
I just want to tell you, being in the crowd's going to be rough enough.
Yeah.
The sport is just boxing and soccer.
Just sitting next to people being like, I hate boxing, soccer, and pasta. To the guy next to
you. You know what I really hate? Florence.
It's a shitty city and a bad name for a girl.
These guys are just weak.
What is this, the ballet? I thought I got tickets to Cacio Historico. I didn't know I was going to the fucking opera, queers. Like,
whoa.
Literally the toughest people in the world.
Yeah, exactly.
The toughest men of all time. Can you imagine we could do that? Like, with my I Love Trump t-shirt on in the crowd, like, just looking for a fight.
Looks like they're smelling posies out there.
I got $10 million worth of travel insurance, motherfucker. Do your worst.
You sound like Hulk Hogan. You can get up there and rip your shirt off.
Oh, fuck.
We're going to sign off.
And that's why we can't go to Italy. Okay. Leah can't stop laughing. We will.
No, we need Leah's.
I'm not wrapping up on mine. That, like, this is a way to wrap.
I want
to
know.
6 out of 7 for both. We're wrapped. Let's go.
Thanks for joining. We'll see you next year.
See you in the new year.
Marche.
That was the Miro Wine Podcast with Josh Bryce and Leah. Want to learn more about natural wine? Find us on the internet at mirowine.ca or on any social media platform. Thanks for listening.
Marche.